Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew Zach here, my office. If we're being transparent, this is take three. It's rare that we do a take two. We are struggling today. I almost got in a car accident this morning, so it's been a rough day for me, aside from the three takes at the podcast.
Yeah, we're just not really in sync.
It's a rough day. Yeah. Anyways, this position statement is interesting, so it should be a fun podcast if we can ever get past reading it.
Yeah.
Is on film arts, movies, TV, stuff like that. Film arts is what it's called. It says, film is a legitimate cultural medium to be used by Christians in the fulfillment of the cultural mandate. They must exercise responsible, spirit-guided, and enlightened discrimination in the use of film arts, rejecting the message of products that sanction sin. The church must educate its members in the discriminant use of film arts, engage in constructive critique of the film arts, and may certainly work to produce Christian films, videos, and television.
So yeah. There's
two angles, the consumption of film arts and the production of film arts.
Right. And one of them we have permission. One of them we have something of a warning.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say that's a good thing.
So it starts and it says, you can use film arts to fulfill the cultural mandate.
Yeah, tell us what the cultural mandate is.
This is the reason we're on take three. We wanted to get clarity on what that meant. Our first inclination was right,
yeah,
may I say, but we wanted to be clear on it. Cultural mandate is from Genesis 1, end of Genesis 1, when God commands humankind be fruitful, increase in number, control the earth, and subdue it.
Yeah.
So it sort of gets at Kuiperianism.
Sure.
Right? Every square inch is under the sovereign reign of God. And so part of our job here is to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Where can we sort of redeem things to bring it back? Our cultural mandate was to make sure that this world is subdued under the reign of God. It's gotten out of control because original sin, we told God, we'll do it ourselves, and we didn't do it very well. So they're saying we can use film arts as a way to sort of bring about change in culture, but also that film arts can be redeemed itself. Those two usages are also getting at the consumption and production thing. So let's take consumption first.
Yeah, and
how do you consume film arts?
Well, consumption means watching, viewing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't know if you know the history of this in our denomination, but this is something of a corrective. In the 1920s, when film was becoming a big thing, the CRC took a stand against it and encouraged members not to go to theaters, not to partake of this in any way.
Oh, I see that in the history here.
Yeah, and so it was kind of, and you know, it's interesting. It's how we, every new generation fears what's coming down the pike, fears what's new.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a certain age and all of a sudden it's kind of like, okay, what I've experienced or the way I practice things, this is the best way it can be, and any new intrusion on that is looked at with suspicion. And so, yep. You know, film is just historically an advance in technology. And so, you know, initially the denomination reacted to an advance in technology with fear and suspicion and steering its members away. Yep. Now this is a corrective, but you know, the fear is grounded in something.
Yeah,
and so what this statement is encouraging is some pretty careful discernment, especially in this day and age, and it's just going to get more and more. When it comes to media, I mean, how many options are there out there just right at our fingertips, right?
So I've had my thinking about discriminant use of film arts broadened in the last month. So that used to mean to me, be careful what you watch or listen to, because the eyes are the window to the soul or whatever people say.
Yeah, you got it.
Right? So I don't want to watch something that will negatively impact me. My mom didn't let us watch Rugrats growing up because Angelica was a bully. So we can't watch Rugrats because we will learn from Angelica how to be a bully.
Interesting.
Or modern day, there are shows I can't watch because it glorifies sexual lust or something like that. So there's a line I have to draw and be discriminant about what is good for me to see and what isn't. That's a discriminant use of film arts. I've had my thinking broadened because I think it goes further than that. I sort of, over time, have gotten better about having a filter and saying, you know what, I can consume a lot of things and not let it impact me. I'm just here for the entertainment value, or it's a good show minus this one thing, right? I've had my thinking broadened because someone explained to me the influence that film arts has on culture. So a discriminant use of film arts also means boycotting in a way, not officially, but if there's a show that glorifies, say, homosexuality, something that I'm not enticed by, right? So I wouldn't be worried about it affecting me that way. But if there's a show that glorifies homosexuality, I might want to be discriminant in my viewing of that film art, because giving them my viewership allows it to have a larger and larger platform.
True.
And if Christians did a better job of supporting media that was more wholesome or promoted values that we think are good and lasting and God-ordained, we would be able to change culture that way just with our collective viewership or entertainment dollars.
True. For me, it's not so much the sexuality thing, but I think about...
And that's just an example.
Different, right.
There are lots.
For me, it would be more the violence, I suppose.
Mm, yeah.
The things that I'm interested in watching are historical drama, right. You know.
So there's a point about... I mean, that's the point about consumption, consuming media. How do we be careful about what we watch? How what we watch influences us and influences culture. But then there's a note about producing media. And this position statement gives us like a total thumbs up when done correctly, right?
Yeah, I would say. It's another sphere of culture that needs to be redeemed. Maybe, you know, even more so in terms of the influence weight that bears in our culture.
I won't ask you because I won't put you on the spot. I don't like the cheesy Christian films.
Don't like them.
Yeah. Friday Night Lights, what was the one with the football team?
I Am Marshall?
No. It was cheesy. Fireproof. Great. I'm all for marriages staying together and working on your marriage. Cheesy. Not super well done, in my opinion. Christians really struggle to make good film.
Well, it's like discussions we've had about Christian contemporary music, too.
Yeah.
It takes you 3 seconds to realize when you're on a Christian station.
Yeah.
It takes you 3 seconds to realize when it's a Christian made film, seems like. And, you know, there's just something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, there are people who love Christian music and think it's the greatest thing ever, and people who love Christian film and think it's the greatest thing ever, and that's fine. It's a matter of opinion. It seems like the quality is so poor to me.
Yeah.
Even the stuff that's done pretty well.
And that means we need more people engaged in it, more Christians.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you need to cast a wider net. Does Lord of the Rings count as Christian film?
No. See, this is another area where I think the churches are a little bit inconsistent. Because you have all kinds of churches that condemned the whole Harry Potter phenomenon, even though there's some really good stuff in the Harry Potter books about friendship, loyalty, and, you know, all these, I mean, what you could call Christian themes, but that was condemned because of, you know, sorcery, witchcraft, that sort of thing, what the content was. Lord of the Rings, same content, sorcery, witchcraft, that sort of thing, but because it was, you know, a Christian author that, you know, maybe had some themes weaving through that were a little bit more explicit, then that's acceptable. And I just think that's inconsistent.
But the fact that it was a Christian author makes all the difference, though, doesn't it?
Well, the author of Harry Potter is a Christian, too.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. One was Anglican, one was Catholic.
Yeah. Why wouldn't we consider Lord of the Rings to be a Christian film, then?
Wasn't directed by a Christian guy, to
Fair
my
enough.
Knowledge.
Peter Jackson, right? Is that his
right.
name?
Right.
Yeah. Those are the kind of things I'd like to see Christians do.
Yeah.
As opposed to the fireproof Friday Night Lights. I know it's not called Friday Night Lights. Facing the Giants. Ah, finally.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they did some pretty, I mean, somebody did some pretty good remakes of the Chronicles of Narnia stuff.
Yeah, they were all right.
Still, there was a quality. It
pales in comparison to Lord of the Rings.
True, true.
Right. I was a communications major, and a lot of my peers in school were interested in film. The communications department included, film and podcasting and audio engineering and stuff like that. So to my friends who are out there, I don't know if probably none of them listen to this anymore, but keep on it. Keep making interesting and really good film that's entertaining, but also removes some of the, I think it says in here, rejects the message of products that sanction sin. So keep rejecting sin in your film and keep promoting the things of God. If you're listening to this and you're an aspiring filmographer or writer, we want to encourage you to keep doing that well. There's a place for you and a need for you in the world. Our podcast is not the highest quality thing ever, but we're working harder and harder all the time to put out a good product. This, we're not really in the entertainment business here, but we hope that it's good and engaging media. So if we all work together and cast a nice wide net, hopefully we can make some cultural difference. Until next time, see ya.